prepared by the League of Women Voters with input from members and community members. And the segment will conclude with candidates making 2-minute closing statements. So for opening statements, we will start with Tom Hawk.
Hi, I'm Tom Hawk, and I'd like to first thank the League of Women Voters for the forum and their dedication to good governance. I'd also like to thank K-Man, and greetings to my opponent, Craig. I am a husband, a father, a grandfather. As people tune in, I know that they want to get answers to some key questions. And I suspect one of the questions is, why am I running? Well, my motivation remains the same as it always has been, to help people and to solve problems and to hopefully make life better for our hardworking families. My policy goals have remained the same also. They're clear: good schools, good jobs, and fair taxes. The past 4 years, while I've been in the Senate, working in a bipartisan way, we've been able to fund our K-12 schools and end court litigation and repeal the disastrous Brownback tax experiment to get our state on solid financial footing and bring fairness back to our tax code. Setting clear budget priorities has made it possible to fund our 10-year highway plan without a tax increase and to also restore most of the Brownback funding cuts to K-State and higher education. So what do I bring to the table? My 33-year career as a teacher, counselor, and superintendent in Manhattan, Ogden, prepared me for the leadership roles I've worked up to in the past 2 years. I've also been a small business owner with a large national photography event photography business that's given me critical business experience. Experience is important. I know our districts, its strengths, and its people, and it's my connections to every state agency that helps solve people's problems. It's also my position as a ranking member on the Senate Budget Committee to be at the table for you, my voters. I have deep roots and experience in the district for over 50 years, and I'm a founding member of the Civility Caucus, and my approach is always bipartisan. I'm here to work for everyone and with everyone. I'd appreciate your vote in November. Thank you.
Thank you. Craig Bowser.
Well, good. Thank you, Marissa. Thank you to the League of Women Voters, and thank you, K-Man, for giving me this opportunity. My name is Craig Bowser. I'm a fifth-generation Kansas farmer. I've been a small business owner since 2005. I served our nation for 24 years in the United States Army, and today I'm the chief executive officer for a 501c3 not-for-profit organization right here in Manhattan that helps military veterans and others enter the agriculture workforce. I'm running for the Kansas State Senate because our state is heading in the wrong direction. We're facing a $1 billion tax revenue shortfall, record unemployment, and skyrocketing taxes. Kansas ranks dead last in economic recovery, and neither the governor nor the legislature has any idea how to fix it. We need leaders in Topeka, not career politicians. I'll get government out of the way so our farmers, our businesses, and our families can prosper. When you vote for me, you are voting for creating jobs, healthcare choices, and supporting higher education. My priorities are simple. I will work hard for the people of this district, supporting small businesses and job creation, advancing veterans issues, and fighting for agriculture. I believe our government can and must do better. I will make improvements that trim costs and produce better results. My vision for our state is clear. I will put Kansas on the road to economic recovery. I will support Kansas families and businesses. I will make healthcare more affordable and accessible. I will support public education to help Kansas grow. Bringing positive change to Kansas begins by changing who we elect. I'll fight to defend the values that make our nation and our state great. Thank you.
Thank you. As I ask the questions, I will rotate who goes first, which is fairly easy with two candidates. So you guys will just flip-flop. So on the first question, I will start with Tom Hawk. The pandemic has revealed difficult political, economic, racial, and social divides in Kansas. As a senator, what problems will be your top priorities, and how might you address them?
Thank you for that question. I think the biggest thing we have to look at on the pandemic is, as we come back to Topeka, we're going to have to be balancing our budget. I'm on the Senate Ways and Committee. I'm the ranking member on that committee. So I'm one of the people that's at the table when we do our final budget and bring it to the entire Senate and then the legislature and the governor. So that's going to be the critical thing. And things are looking better at the moment because our revenues are higher than what we thought they might be early in the summer. But I still predict after we get our consensus revenue estimation here in mid-November that we'll be looking at certainly reduction in revenue. I'm hopeful that we'll get a stimulus package from Congress and that that will backfill our budget. And if that's the case, like it was with the 2008 recession, then things will actually be looking better. I've also served on the SPARC committee, which is how we do the federal funds. And we've been looking at ways to better position our state. Healthcare is certainly a critical thing. And we tried to get the PPE to people and to help safety with people in nursing homes and around the state. Also want to get the economy recovered and our broadband revenues that we put into that. We had $60 million into trying to expand broadband. I think will be very helpful to put us on a good path for recovery.
Thank you. Greg Bowser.
Yeah, thanks. Our families and businesses are struggling in the wake of the pandemic. It's vitally important that we're focused on getting businesses open and giving those businesses the resources they need to begin growing and creating jobs again. I've been a small business owner since 2005, and I know how to create jobs and improve our economy. I've been honored to serve as a CEO for an organization that's focused on exactly that, helping create jobs and get veterans into the workforce. That experience has taught me that in order for our economy to grow, we've got to get government out of the way and offer the relief to our citizens and businesses. Kansas faces many challenges. We need a leader who has the experience in creating jobs, not another career politician. I believe our state needs a comprehensive strategic and economic recovery plan that brings together all stakeholders who will work together to grow our economy and help our state recover from the pandemic.
Okay, on to question number two. And Craig, you will go first. In Kansas, nearly all the laws passed stem from bills whose authors are anonymous. Would you support changing the rules so the process for how proposed bills are heard, debated, and voted upon is more transparent? Why or why not?
I do. I believe in a transparent government. I think there are, you know, there's a process that we need to follow, but certainly transparency in government is important. You know, when I go around and I've talked to thousands of voters this past year, the biggest concern that voters have are, you know, the jobs and the economy. We've got to get our state's economy back on track. We've got to get recovered from this pandemic. People are very interested in education and supporting Kansas State University. I'll fight for that and make sure we do that. They're very interested in healthcare and how we can protect our seniors. I want to protect our children and families. I want to help increase medical innovation in our state. I want to save taxpayer dollars, and I want to make sure that we help our rural healthcare system.
Okay, thank you. Tom Hawk.
I actually have sponsored a bill with a Republican that would require us to have names on every bill, and I think that's a very healthy thing for our voters to know, as well as groups in the state. The current system we have now, even lobbyists can introduce bills in our committee. And I think when you send somebody to Topeka, and that's one advantage I bring as an experienced legislator, is I know the pieces of the system that I don't think are working well and are certainly not transparent for the voters. So the bill that I helped right and co-sponsor with a fellow Republican friend of mine would require that name to be on the bill. And then the people at home would know who to call. And we also would not have nearly so much bad legislation that's introduced. I think it costs $3,000 to $5,000 for every bill that's written. And the fact that we have people who are not in the legislature that can introduce bills, I think is a waste of taxpayer funds. And I think that we'll find out if we actually could get this bill passed. There's a lot of pushback because I think some people don't want their names on the bills, but I think we absolutely need to have names on the bills. And I think that would make the process move much fairer and much more transparently. and more efficiently.
Thank you. On our next question, Tom Hawk, you will go first. Does Kansas need Medicare expansion? And if no, why not? If yes, why?
I absolutely think Kansas needs its Medicaid expansion. probably we want to keep the Medicare that we have, but CanCare and Medicaid expansion is really important, I think. And actually, we've had a majority of people there. Leadership has blocked it. We have, as taxpayers, have $4.3 billion that has gone out of our state and gone to other states. Or all the surrounding states, our neighbors, have passed Medicaid expansion. 39 states have. And we have 130,000 people who are the working poor who would qualify to have insurance. It would give them that insurance. It would take a burden off the charity care that our hospitals have. I'm very worried about a lot of our rural hospitals actually surviving. And it was built into the bill originally to have Medicaid expansion happen at the state level. And most states did that. And I think their economy, it would probably cost us an initial $30 million. But that money would be recouped, I think, according to the Kansas Hospital Association, probably within the first year, and maybe even with some things they've offered, not even take that out of the budget. So I think it's smart budgeting. That's one thing I bring to the Senate. I want us to do smart budgeting and utilize those federal dollars that we have coming to us.
Thank you. Craig Bowser.
Thank you. This is a very important issue, by the way, and two-thirds of our hospitals in Kansas have been losing money since Obamacare was introduced. And so rather than expanding a broken CanCare system, I'll focus on meaningful healthcare reforms that will increase access and decrease costs for all Kansans. There are already a limited number of providers who accept Medicaid in Kansas, and adding more able-bodied working age adults to the Medicaid rolls will only make it harder for those who already rely on it. Additionally, the cost, Tom mentioned $30 million, that cost for the program will further strain our state budget that is already facing the effects of the pandemic. I want to help our seniors. I want to lower the cost of drugs. I want to protect our children and our families. I want to increase medical innovation. I want to save taxpayer dollars. I believe in addressing the opioid crisis that our state faces, and I want to emphasize the importance of supporting and helping our rural healthcare system. I will only support legislation that does those things.
Thank you. On to our next question, which Craig Bowser, I will let you field first. Do you agree with the decisions by the Kansas Legislative Coordinating Council concerning the overturning of Governor Kelly's pandemic response? Why or why not?
Well, I certainly don't think it's the state's place to tell a private business whether they're important, whether they should remain open, whether they should be closed. I'm opposed to that. And I think this is the beautiful part about our government is the checks and balances that our system provides.
Okay, Tom Hawk.
Craig, that was too short a response. I was still writing down some of the things I wanted to say. I think Governor Kelly and Director Norman, Dr. Norman, have done a great job in an unprecedented panic that with the COVID-19. We got no direction from the federal level. We were competing for PPE supplies. We had not been through this type of long-term emergency. And I think the governor showed courage and showed how really what a good leader she is. Good leaders take up whatever the problem is at the time. And she tried to make sure that we did not get a huge surge and kept our emergency rooms open and our ICUs. We didn't want to have our hospitals overrun. And so I think she made the best decision. Now we have 2020 vision in hindsight, and we can see that maybe some of the things in terms, especially in the governor has said this, and I think the LCC as well as the State Finance Council wanted to make sure that we keep our businesses open. We need the revenue to come in and we need it to keep people working. But if you look at all the things we've been able to do with the Spark money, both helping our health departments, helping our hospitals, helping our nursing homes, as well as we've given out over $6 billion to our state's businesses to keep them, as many of them, afloat as we can. And we've taken some proactive things that will get our state in a good position for the future.
Thank you. Next question, Tom Hawk, I will let you field this one first. The legislature will be charged with drawing new legislative districts during the second year after the census. Would you vote in favor of an amendment creating an impartial committee to draw the new legislative districts? Why or why not?
I would support an impartial commission. I had hoped before I heard the news, I think last week, when Senate President Weigel was at a partisan group in Wichita and talked about how they wanted to control that so they could gerrymander the districts that would keep the supermajority of Republicans. And I think people in Kansas want to know that it's fair. I think there are a lot of things we want to look at in terms of income levels, geographic, not just how many Republicans or Democrats are in a district. And so I think the only way to avoid that really crashing and being a problem is to have an impartial panel. The last time this was done 10 years ago, the legislature just could not get that done and it had to go to the court. So I think it would be wise to get people that were not partisan and that we would set the criteria. I don't think it will be easy to write that bill in the legislature, but I think the people in Kansas want the very best people to represent them in the legislature and in Congress. And I think that impartial panel is really the best and fairest way to do that and the most transparent.
Thank you. Craig Bowser.
Yeah, I would not support that because it strips away the power of the people. And remember, this is a government for the people, by the people. So we, as citizens of our state, we elect representatives to go to Topeka and represent us, and we trust them to do the redistricting that they're supposed to do the job they're supposed to do. And when you strip that away from the people, you're doing a disservice to everybody. Plus, it's, you know, who's to say who's impartial? That's going to be kind of a challenge to find an impartial group who can redistrict. So I would oppose that.
Okay, thank you. Next question, Craig Bowser, you will field this one first. Does the Kansas legislature have a role in addressing systemic racism in Kansas? And if so, what areas need intervention and how might that best be legislated? And if not, what systems do we have in place that need to be maintained for fair treatment under the law?
So I think if I understood your question, it was, should the legislature legislate social behavior? I guess the answer to that would probably be no. I think that would be very difficult to do. As someone who's served in the military, I've served with and respected people of all races and ethnicities. In order for us to move forward as a country, we must focus on creating opportunities for all Kansans. We must have strong education and a strong economy that offers jobs and a future for all of our citizens. Again, positive change begins by who we elect. I'll fight to defend the values that make our nation and our state great. The belief that all people are created equal by God spurs me onward to fight for policies that will improve the lives of all Kansans.
Thank you. Tom Hawk.
I think one of the areas that I've been working on that I think relates to this, and I think when you look at some of the insidious things that happen under the banner of systemic racism, you get down to how do we treat one another. And I've been one of the co-founders of a legislative civility caucus. And I think we model that in the legislature by how we treat one another and how we promote democracy. And part of that is learning how to listen, making sure that we get data and really look at how our laws impact different groups in our society. I know we have had legislation in the past that wants to look at impact data. We have some commissions that I think the legislature ought to support that works at this. And then I think we need to look at our laws and see how our criminal justice system actually responds to different groups of people and see what that impact is. And so I think that is all part of the law and part of the role of the legislature to do that. I heard Martin Luther King when I was a senior in college, and that had a profound impact on me about how we ought to treat one another, particularly when we have different ethnic backgrounds, different colored skin, and judge us by our character, not by the color of skin, and not do that with violence, but to model that we can do that peacefully and really respect one another.
Thank you. This will be our last question before closing statements, and Tom Hawk, I will let you field it first. Do you believe that current Kansas laws support the right to vote for all citizens? Do you see changes that need to be made, either broadening or restricting current laws and protocols?
I think in general, our laws do support the right for people to vote. I get concerned about some people who are interested in suppressing the vote, and they use an argument that maybe there's fraud. I don't think we found any evidence of fraud out there. We want to make sure our voting system is safe. We had a bill that did pass, I think, out of the Senate, but maybe did not get passed out of the legislature, that would model it in Wichita, where you could go to any polling place. And I think we have sort of the traditional thing where voting is on one day. Our county clerk here, Rich Vargo, has worked very hard to encourage advance voting. And that's a mail-in process, but people apply for that. He believes it's very safe. I agree with him. And I think that gets more participation. My fundamental belief is the more people that vote, and I think it's a fundamental, I'm a former teacher and educator. I think it's a fundamental responsibility of our democracy for a person to vote, and we ought to encourage people to do that and make that system as easy and yet maintain its safety and fairness so that people turn out to vote. And I think we're going to see a larger turnout this particular election.
Thank you. Craig Bowser.
Well, thank you. Kansas is not the first nor the only state to require voter ID. And I support that. I have to tell you a quick story. In 2004 and 2005, I was serving in the Army in Iraq and helped conduct what many international observers call the first free and fair election in Iraq's history. I was instrumental in that. One of the key things that the Iraqis were concerned about was voter identification and voter fraud. So, that's a third world country that was wanted to make sure that everyone who was legally authorized to vote could vote. They encouraged it, but they were also very concerned about making sure they had voter ID and that the right people voted in the right locations. And you probably remember seeing, even after they voted, they would have a kind of a blue mark on their finger. So very important. I believe our voting system here in Kansas is one of the best and safest in the country.
Thank you. Those were all of our questions. So we will now move on to closing statements, and you will each have 2 minutes to make that closing statement. And we will start with Craig Bowser.
Well, again, thanks again for having me here. Great opportunity to visit with you. I think the voters have a very clear choice in November. Our state is heading in the wrong direction with the $1 billion tax revenue shortfall, record unemployment, and skyrocketing taxes. We keep voting for the career politicians, we're going to keep getting the same results, more debt and higher taxes. When you vote for me, you're voting for an improved economy and a better Kansas. I will end the reckless, out-of-control spending that our state has incurred. Did you know our state's budget has increased 49% over the last 10 years? I want to make sure that we're supporting education and that we have a strategic plan that aligns our state's objectives with our educational needs. My vision for our state is clear. Again, I'll put Kansas on the road to economic recovery. I'll support Kansas families. I'll make Kansas healthcare more affordable and accessible. And I'll support Kansas public education to make sure our state is able to grow. I'll fight to defend the values that make our nation and our state great You can learn more about our campaign at craigbowser.com. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you. Tom Hawk.
Thanks again for being here, and thanks, Craig, for a forum and a good discussion. I have old values that were taught to me by my church, my teachers, and my family in Colby, where I grew up. They're values of fairness, kindness, humbleness, values of working hard and creating community, putting family first. I've always listened to all sides, made time to hear various opinions, and that served our district well. I believe in bipartisanship, and that's why I co-founded the Legislative Civility Caucus. It takes fair dialogue and good relationships to arrive at good public policy, people before politics. I also believe a person should be invested over time in their community. I've done that for over 50 years in our district. My opponent has not. I bought my home here, pay property taxes, raised my children here, invested in my career and business, and go to church here. I know our pillars of success, K-State, Fort Riley, and our business and farming communities. I've passed legislation helping all of these pillars. I'm an independent, moderate voice for our district. I'm not endorsed by any of the extremist groups that support my opponent. Some of them are funded by the Koch brothers, and I believe their goal is to lower their business taxes, and that will raise our property taxes, a tax that's already too high. I've worked my way up to the table over the last 4 years on Senate budget to be in that ranking position. This is important to K-State, our local business, and our health and business communities and disability groups. I've fought and got funds restored for K-State. We should remember that we're in a pandemic, and I've been on the federal funds distribution SPARK committee working to keep all of us safe and also restore our state and local economies, very important to all of us. A new senator simply cannot learn enough or attain the budget positions to effectively deal with these recovery issues. It's been an honor for me to serve our district and its incredible communities, families, students, and citizens. I humbly ask for your vote.
Thank you. Thank you to Tom Hawk and Craig Bowser for answering our questions and sharing your views. This concludes our forum. I'd like to once again thank our co-sponsors, the American Association of University Women of Manhattan and the Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce. Thank you to our timekeepers and other volunteers who make the League's forums run smoothly. And thank you to Dave Lewis and Brandon Peoples and everyone at News Radio K-Man for their help and participation today. As a reminder, in-person advance voting has begun in the county office building and the K-State Student Union Bluemont Room. The deadline to apply for a mail-in ballot is October 27th. Your completed mail-in ballot may be delivered in person to the election office in the county office building prior to and on election day, or placed in an official Riley County drop box, which there are several throughout the community, or delivered in person to any polling place in Riley County on election day, or mailed and postmarked by election day. Advance voting ends at noon on Monday, November 2nd, and election day is Tuesday, November 3rd. So please vote. Thank you.